Today is Saturday, the 15th of October, 2022, and we are all gathered here for the 53rd session on Mindfulness for Beginners. And representing Nisaranavane Forest Monastery, we have Venerable Bhante Homagama Dhammakusala Thero joining us for the session today. And we also have all the organizers joining us, and also participants joining through Zoom, and others listening, watching the program through the live stream on the Satipatthasila Foundation's Facebook live stream. So I would like to welcome Bhante, and I would also like to welcome all the organizers and attendees participating through these technologies. Our program lineup will follow up in the sequence as firstly commencing with the in-session mindfulness practice aided by Bhante, and then we will move on to the question and answer session, which includes presentation of the reports received for today and also the opportunity for verbal questions and statements on mindfulness, which will then be followed by a talk on mindfulness by Bhante. And after the talk, if you have any questions based on the talk, you can ask, raise those questions to Bhante. So, to start off things, I would hand over the session to Bhante to commence with in-session mindfulness practice scheduled for today. Over to Bhante. Thank you.
Hello, everybody. We will start with a sitting session today. Probably around 15 minutes, we'll take it for mindful sitting. For this, you have to make sure that your sitting posture is adjusted. Make sure that you are comfortable. Once you have that comfort, you can close your eyes and pay attention that you are sitting. We don't try to do much here. Instead, we try to appreciate the present moment. You are seated comfortably. You have your eyes closed. And you are aware about the present moment. Take few seconds to notice what appears in your field of awareness. Initially, you may hear surrounding sounds. Vehicle noises, probably people talking. Maybe sound of rain. In addition, you might feel your body as well. Some sensations must be prominent from your body. For some of you, the sitting posture or the pressure on your legs, pressure on your back might be prominent. For some of you, breathing might be prominent. Probably your stomach or chest moving up and down according to the breath. Or maybe the sensation at your nostrils. Time to time, thoughts may appear. we allow them to pass freely and we try to be aware. Sometimes you may feel sleepy. Sometimes aches, pain from your body may appear. We allow these things to pass while knowing that we are seated in this present moment. Thoughts appear again and again, and they disappear while you are seated in this present moment. Pain may come and go, sleepiness may come and go while you are seated here in the present moment. Among all these things, we try to appreciate that we are seated. Various things come and go freely. You are peaceful among these things. As a group, let's try to appreciate this peace for a while. Now you can open your eyes again. Let's just take a few seconds to notice the status of our mind. How do you compare it from earlier after 15 minutes of sitting? So this is just a guidance on mindful sitting practice. And you can try this on your own every day. Try to pick some time in your schedule for sitting, probably 20, 30 minutes or even more. You can fix it and do it every day. Start your day with 20, 30 minutes of mindful sitting and continue it for a while and see how this practice is helping you. Okay, Namanta, with that, I think we can move forward.
Thank you, Bhante. Yeah, I felt much calmer after the mindfulness practice. So the next session item would be for us to go through the Q&A session. I would like to invite Sonali to commence with the Q&A session for today. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Namanta. Avasarai Bante. We have two reports received today. I will start with the first one. Daily mindfulness. Majority of the day, keeping mind happy, generous, content, actions mostly to serve, help others, being kind and generous at home and to others in need. However, aware of irritation, impatience that arises in the mind, and occasional harsh speech when not mindful. Note disappointment in mind when these occasions arise, despite being aware that the training is gradual. Also aware that mind picks up that impatience and irritation has arisen. Cutting short the actions and thought proliferations that would otherwise follow much sooner than in the past. Recognize more practice of metta and patience needed. Walking meditation. Walked on tile floor, noting lifting, moving, and placing of each foot. The coolness and hardness of floor observed. Occasional pain in one ankle, which passed. Noted mind wandering and observed where foot was. When mind came back to feet, once on placing foot and another time when lifting, etc. Walked for 45 minutes. Sitting meditation. Body scan and noted changing nature of electric shocks-like sensations in scalp, sharp pins and needles in arms, hands and feet. Noted temperature changes and severe sense of thirst and all of it mixed up, which the mind continued to watch. Sweaty sensation in head and trunk passed. The breath appeared scrunched up almost inside the nose, and then a big breath taken spontaneously, and mind became light and appeared to expand inside the head. Did not feel like coming out of the meditation. Meditated for 45 minutes. Much gratitude to Bante and the organizers. End of report.
Okay, you feel happy and peaceful when you meditate. You did not feel like coming out of meditation. So that's a good sign that practice is developing. Usually when we go to these one-off programs, mindfulness programs, when we teach kids how to do mindful sitting, probably like 100 of them. When they sit, you can see even from their faces that they are calm and peaceful. It's mesmerizing to watch them, right? So we will do probably like 15, 20 minutes of sitting. At the end of the sitting session, you don't feel like waking them up because they appear to be so calm and peaceful in their mind. Maybe for the first time in their life, they are experiencing this peace and calm in their mind. Right, so that comes out of the practice. You don't even know that there is this status in your mind. Only through meditation you come to realize, okay, there is this status in my mind. They are calm and peaceful. Although there are dark status in your mind, there are positive status as well. That's how it goes, you know. You can feel both of them. How the darkness and light working together in your mind. Or in Zen practices, they call it yin versus yang. This dark side and the light side, the positive side or the dark side, or the good side and the evil. So they are just the two sides of a coin. Now, in your report earlier part, you mentioned that your day-to-day life, you feel the thoughts to help others, to be generous, to spread kindness. So these things are good. Of course, we know, right? These things are good. These are good qualities. But next sentence, you explain that irritation, then occasions of harsh talk appear. So that's also probably connected to the very first sentence, right? When you go try to do something kind, if they don't accept, then you feel irritated. You feel anger in you. So you see, these are two sides of a coin. We identify one as good and the other one as evil, right? So in this practice, initially, of course, you appreciate the good. You try to skip the evil. That's how you start. But when you come to the meditation practice, you have to understand these two sides are interrelated. They are interconnected. If you get one, you get the other. Two in one package you have, right? So when you have that understanding, you won't try to get rid of these thoughts, emotions, especially the dark side, the irritation, the anger, or the occasional harsh talk in your mind. Those things you don't try to get rid of. When I hear your report, I felt like that you are trying to get rid of them. You want to remove them. You want to kill them. So that's not the way. Instead, you accept them. You accept them. You think that these are also part of my mind. You have both yin and yang in your mind. No, the good and evil. You have to accept that. That very acceptance is important. Otherwise, we are fighting. It's a never-ending fight. Because as soon as you want to get rid of these emotions, thoughts, you are giving more and more authority to them. You are giving more and more power to them. Try to get rid of something in your mind. Then it will start coming back again and again and again. When there's a problem, people come and tell us, let it go. That's their advice. Of course, the advice is good. But can you do it? That's a problem. It's easier to say. But the person who is suffering is wondering how to let it go. Again and again, it keeps coming back. Because this is valuable to me. This is a problem. So although letting go, let it go is a good advice, but you can't do it. That's the issue. You can't really put it into practice. If you can do it, then it's very good. There's a problem, you decide, okay, I'm letting this go, and the problem disappears, and you are calm and peaceful. Again, tomorrow, you schedule some time, 10 to 11, I fix this time to think about this problem. Then you invite again, okay, this problem, come back. We'll have a discussion. Again, at 11, you say, okay, go away. That won't happen, right? That's not how the mind works. So you have to identify, understand the behavior of it. If you try to get rid of these thoughts, if you try to get rid of these emotions, that's not how it works. You want to keep one part and get rid of the other part. When you try to get rid of, then again and again, you are feeding that fire. You are energizing these thoughts and emotions. So the method is that you allow them to be. You let them be, but you are aware these things are bad. But they are also children of my mind. So let them be. They should have a roof over their head. That attitude is very much valuable. Then positivity, okay, that's also there. That's fine, no issue. Let it be. If you accept it, then next time when you write your report, you won't have that attitude towards those negative things. When we hear your report, I felt like that you would want to get rid of. You want to remove. That's not the way of the practice. Instead, you let them be. You stop feeding them. Accept that they too are children of your mind and they should have a roof over their head. When you have that acceptance, then the problem will resolve soon. So that's the idea I want to give. Continue practicing and try to see how to word it differently next time. When you word it next time, try to see how you can word it differently as per today's discussion.
Thank you, Bhante. That is very helpful for all of us. I will start with the next report. Mindful sitting. sat on the cushion and settled into a balanced position. Even though it was early in the morning, tiredness was felt in the body and mind. Noted the mental drama unfolding. First scene was about, let's have a shorter practice session. Second verse, perhaps it's a better to practice in the afternoon today, in case the sleepiness take over. Within a few seconds, however, the mindfulness arose and the determination to sit for 1 hour came up. Found humor in this situation, despite knowing the importance of the practice and the benefits experienced so far. The resistance to resistance tried to take advantage of the tired conditions and derail the practice effortlessly. Breath noticed soon after a quick body scan, in-breath shorter, out-breath longer, in-breath cooler, out-breath warmer. Soon various thoughts arose. Agitation noticed because aware that mind was forming stories with arising thoughts. With this awareness, the focus returned to the breath. When the past events and future planning appeared again, recognized these as thoughts. Breath was felt again, which wasn't very prominent now. After about 40 minutes, the pressure in the lower back was noted as uncomfortable and painful. The urge to change the posture was high, although the option to just notice the discomfort was also in the mind. Continued to notice the pain without a change in posture. After a while, the awareness had returned to the breath. Sat for 1 hour. Then mindfulness during the day. Notice specific situations during which the mind reacted unskillfully and judgmentally. For example, while walking to the car to go to the town, there was calmness in mind. When starting the car, the loud music came up, which startled the mind. That instant, the judgment poured out, aimed at the husband. With such loud music, you will lose concentration and have an accident. Purpose of the car is to move from A to B and not to have a party. As this is a familiar occurrence, it took a while for mindfulness to appear. With that, the mind recognized in the skillful option is to turn the volume down or switch off music altogether and just drive to the destination. All of the judgments were a waste of energy, switched off the music and was on the way, but noted associated feelings in the body from the judgments. Calm feeling which was there when walking to the car was replaced by tight feelings in the chest, warmth in the cheeks, holding of the breath instead of breathing naturally. This noticing helped reduce the sensitivity of the feelings and some sense of balance returned to mind. Another time when the service provider refused to return some money that was kept as a deposit, mind was quite certain the funds needed to be returned as no contract was signed and have chosen not to go ahead with the service. Mind reacted again with various judgments and felt the loss as frustration, annoyance, and as unfair. After 2 days of intermittent worry, choose to let go of the loss. Again, the bodily sensations associated with the mental stress noticed. Once a couple of hours, the mind began to return to somewhat calmer place. Venerable Bhante, look forward to your valuable guidance in how to react less to external situations. Much merit to you and the organizers. End of report.
Anali, not your report, right?
Sorry, Bhante, it's not my report, but it felt quite familiar.
Yes, probably the Rajika's report, I guess. Okay, so this is the observation, right? When you do this observation, you feel these things, you notice these things. So it's a very valuable observation. You might be noticing certain bad things, certain dark things, but still it is good to know good to know that this is how I react. As soon as something doesn't go my way, I blame husband. Right? That's how it goes. That's how it goes. You find the closest person that you can blame. Not the faraway people, instead the closest one. Or the children. That's how you react. That is how this mind works. So it is good to know that this is how I behave. This is the nature of my mind. And this observation, we are doing it again and again. Now you wake up in the morning, but still you feel tired. Right? So maybe after 6-7 hours of sleep, still you feel tired. So that has a message for you. Maybe sometimes you might have to do some changes in your lifestyle. Maybe take a break in between. Because after 6-7 hours of sleep, still if you are tired, then that shows us something. We have to listen to it. And if you have a habit of sitting early in the morning, maybe you don't feel like doing it today. You know, you probably fall asleep during that hour. And you try to postpone it. Your mind will give various reasoning in order to do that. But if you sit through this hour or 45 minutes, sometimes you might notice that in between you fall asleep, again you wake up, again you fall asleep, but somehow you spend 45 minutes. Now after sitting session, if you wake up and see, maybe you feel refreshed. Because sitting posture, I think, it's much relaxing, even much more than the sleep. Right? So you have to tell your opinion. As for my understanding, if you can sit through 1 hour, it's more like 1.5 hours of sleep. So probably, although it is sleepy, although you are tired, if you sit through that session, maybe you feel refreshed. Same thing goes for when you fall asleep at night. If you directly go to bed, then maybe that's not the best way. Your eyes are burning from the light. And you hear this ringing sound in your head. You are too tired. Before you fall asleep, you have to relax your mind. So maybe a walking session, probably. In darkness, not in bright color light. Instead, you can dim your lights and do a walking session for 15-20 minutes. Let the senses relax. Let the eyes get used to the darkness. Let the ears relax. Let the thoughts flow. Probably not the ideal practice for that you intend. When you do a walking session at the end of the day, it's not the focus that matters. Instead, thoughts come and go. Various mental images come and go. You feel tired. You feel exhausted. But still, you continue to walk. That is the real practice. If you do 20 minutes of walking, then probably you will fall asleep easily, and that helps a lot. That helps, and maybe you realize that now I am waking up fresh. And still I do the sitting session for 45 minutes, 1 hour. So these things are signs. These things give valuable messages if you are open to listen to them. So that's the idea I want to give. Try to continue with your walking. Try to continue with your sitting. No matter whether you sleep, whether you feel like doing it or not, you do it. You do it for the sake of doing. Don't think about, you know, focusing too much. Don't think about being mindful throughout the session. Instead, you do. Instead, you do. Thoughts come and go, various things. You feel like your body is aching, paining, but still you do. That's the way of the practice. Otherwise, you as sitting, you go for some kind of a peace, calmness, and that's all you want to have. Only breath you want to observe. That's not how we do. Instead, you do the sitting, you do the walking for the sake of doing it. No matter how you feel it, you do it. That's the way of the practice. That's the way of the practice. Early after waking up, early 1 hour, this is my task. Okay, I sit. Maybe I fall asleep. Maybe I'm awake. Maybe the thoughts are there. Doesn't matter. I do the sitting. Before I go to bed, I have 20 minutes of walking. And this is what I do. No matter whether I feel like it. No matter whether so many thoughts are there. No matter my body is aching, paining. No matter how sleepy I am, I do the walking session for 30 minutes. So that way of approach towards practice is the proper way. And when you have that attitude, when you have that approach, soon you will realize that this practice helps. This practice helps. And I'm not tired anymore. I feel like I have so much energy to work with. So that's a good sign. That's how you develop little by little. So judgments will be there. Don't worry about them. Tomorrow also same judgment will appear towards your husband. That's fine. That's fine. I think he must be used to it. So it doesn't matter. Right? So you continue your practice. You continue your observation. Same judgments will appear towards your children. Something goes wrong, you blame them. Okay, you have taken this. Where is it? It is. That's how you do. Right? So, doesn't matter. Observe. This is how I react. This is my usual response. And it's like, you know, fight and flight response that goes. At that moment, you can, you know, hit with something. That type of energy, anger, you get. If you live in a forest, it's helpful to save your life. But now it's towards your children. Now it's toward your spouse. Don't try to get rid of it. Instead, do the sitting for the sake of sitting. Do the walking for the sake of walking. And continue this observation. Don't try to judge anything. Even judgments about judgments, we don't need. Just continue with it. Just continue the observation. And after a while, after a few months, you realize now the situation is different. Now you have a new normal. We call it new normal. Now compared to last, probably like 6 months ago, now my mind is different. Now I'm judging less. Maybe some other trouble is there, but still I have a new normal. I'm much better off. So that's the way of the practice. So we encourage you to continue with your observation, do the sitting, do the walking, and see how your daily life you are functioning. And it's good to share it in the group, because most of you feel like, this is my report, this is how I react. This is the human nature, so it's not foreign to us. Instead, this is our mind. This is our mind. And when somebody else share their experience, we feel the same. We feel that vibration. So thank you for sharing. And we'll hear it again.
Thank you, Bhante. We do feel like some of these reports are very familiar. And thank you very much for sharing for all the report writers. It's time for questions now. If anyone has a question about this, what we've discussed so far or the reports, please feel free to raise your Zoom hands. I will let you unmute yourself. Surprisingly, we've got no hands raised so far. Maybe we have no questions today. Looks like we have no questions. Maybe we should move on now, Mantha. Give a couple more seconds. Okay, there is one question. Samantha, unmute and ask your question.
Thank you, Sonali. Thank you, Bhante, for asking my question again.
Samantha, you have unmuted yourself again. Mute yourself.
Can you hear me now? Yeah. Oh, thank you. Thank you for asking my question, Bhante. I was just thinking, now when Bhante was saying acceptance, whatever arises, we accept whether it's good or bad, or non-judgmental. I was just thinking then, should we then, when we're aware of if it's an unwholesome thought or action, then should we sort of like on realization try to turn that into a wholesome thought or action? Like, say, if I'm being judgmental over someone else's action, yes, so it's my opinion that coming from my own defilement, but and I should then change it by turning it into a wholesome thought and accepting it, rather than just accept my defilement. Better myself, and then turn into good thoughts, and not have a metta towards that person, and just accept that maybe it's my own defilement and my own judgment that I don't like what that other person's doing. You know, say, for example, if they're putting the radio or whatever in the car, I do sympathize with that as well. And especially if it's not my liking of the song, then I sort of like switch the, you know, change or make a comment. Have more, a kindness, metta sort of acceptance.
Okay, so that's one way. That's a valid method. Now, it's the popular method, of course. You become aware that there are these negative sides and probably there's anger. Then you try to spread metta. That's most popular method of dealing with them. But although you try, it's not a permanent solution. It's a tool. It's a valid method. But it's not a permanent solution. When you say word acceptance, this is not accepting, right? If you're accepting, then you don't have to replace it with another one, right? But still, it is a valid method. So depends on the level of your practice, right? For a beginner, of course, this is a valid method. Of course, it's good to replace bad things with good things. But more and more you do it, more and more you progress in your practice, you realize it doesn't work. It doesn't work. Temporary, you do a fix. Temporary, it'll work. But again, the same problem appears. It's a band-aid. It solves for a while, but the wound doesn't heal. Right? So, more and more you have experience regarding these things, more and more you realize this is not a temporary, this is not a permanent solution, it's just temporary. But it's a valid way of dealing with these things. That's the popular method of dealing with these things. You don't have to have meditation in order to know this, right? You go to the world, they say, okay, these are bad, these are good. We have to replace. We have to spread kindness. Go to YouTube. You have so many videos about how people try to spread kindness. Random act of kindness. They do various things. And they post videos on YouTube. And they have so many views, millions of views. And they earn money. Next day also, they go and do the same thing. So that's the world. Those things are so much popular in the world. But of course, it's a valid method. Valid method. Instead of appreciating the negativity, appreciating negative thoughts, feeding them, you try to feed something different. Something different. Something positive. You know that these things are bad. I have to refrain from them. These things are good. I have to feed them, appreciate them. So that's one level of the practice. But it's just a temporary fix. Right? Again, the same thing will happen. If you really accept, if true acceptance is there, you don't have to really do anything about that thought. You don't have to do anything. You just let it be. If you are not accepting, then of course you interfere. I hope I answered your question. Try and see.
You need to have more
experience with these things.
Yeah, thank you, Bhante. Just quickly, I see what you're saying, but I was just thinking now, maybe at this stage, because I'm at the beginning stage, maybe I will accept it, but maybe at the back of my mind, sort of like not really happy about it, begrudgingly sort of thing, and just accept it for the sake of accepting and not genuinely, and then just let it go just to sort of like not cause any friction. Maybe I would feel that's why I would be accepting it, but maybe I suppose if my meditation or my grows, then I might just be accepting non-judgmentally, truly to myself, whether without judgment, and it doesn't matter, you know, that's what that person's opinion, so that's that, and let it go. So maybe that will develop. Is that what Bhante is saying eventually? So have an equanimous mind, basically.
Yeah, only one way to know. You keep doing your part. You keep doing your homework. You have to do certain hours of a sitting session, certain hours of walking. You invest probably like 1.5 hours, 2 hours per day for formal meditation, right? And just continue with it, right? Not just a day, not just a week, but few months, continue with it. Then probably you don't have to ask this question anymore. Probably you don't have to hold a label or a board saying that I'm a beginner. Not anymore, right? So you don't know how much potential you have. So usually people, they come with beginner's boards. They say, I am a beginner. They start with that. But I say, throw that board away. Just sit, just walk, and share your experience. Then we can see whether you are truly a beginner or you have greater potential. You don't know really. So we usually go and we hold boards. We say, I'm a beginner. I've been here for so many years, and still you are a beginner probably. I have seen such people, 15 years of meditation, still they are a beginner. Some people, they just meditate for a few months and they are done. They're happy with their life. They go, they are peaceful. But 15 years of meditation, still a beginner. Holding a ball, saying, I'm a beginner. I don't know much. This is how I do. Right? That's not the way. Instead, invest your time, probably 1.5 hours, 2 hours. That's the only method. There are no other ways that you can know. Right? Invest that time. Then share your experience. Then we'll see what is the status. Then we can give you the proper guidance. Sometimes I may come and say, okay, get rid of the negative ones. Just focus on the positive, the way you suggested. Sometimes I might come and say some other solution. So we have to see based on the experience. So that's why we usually ask you to share your experience along with the question. Then we know for sure. Then we know for sure. When you ask just the question, we have to give a broad answer because we don't know the status of your meditation, of your practice. So that's my idea. That's the only way to grow.
Lovely. Thank you, Bhante. That's a really helpful answer. Thank you. Appreciate it.
I hope that answered the question. We have one more hand raised. Rajika, please unmute and ask your question.
Thank you, Sonali. Avasarai, Bhante. It's not a question, actually. I thought once I was listening to Samantha's question, something came into my mind as an idea thought. I thought to share that with Bhante and the rest of the group. When Samantha said, like, when there's a negativity comes, she tried to do the, like, replace that with the positivity, the metta or something that she recognized as positive things. I feel like we still have that kind of aversion to that negative thoughts or whatever that the things that we recognize as negativity. So that's why we try to replace that with the positive thoughts. So I feel like that we should, like, if we do that, then we can't really have that. We do that because we do not accept as it is. I don't know. It just came into my mind. I just thought of sharing with you one. I don't know if you understand what I was saying.
I thought it was a confession, accepting that earlier report was yours.
No.
Okay. Right. So, okay, the thought that good and bad, good and evil. So usually it says that the priest or the monks, they are responsible for this. Giving certain ideas, preaching and telling people this is good, this is bad. Okay. So in a way, you create, darkness. As a monk, as a priest, you say this is good, this is bad. And then people start to judge. Till they hear that, they are okay, they are fine. Go to the outside world. There are so many people drinking, partying, doing various things. And if you go and question them, they don't worry about these things. They just live their life. They don't care. Right? Then you send a monk or a priest, they will go and tell, okay, this is good, this is bad, you have to refrain from bad, and this is how you do good. As soon as somebody hear that word, then they start judging. Okay, this person is good, this person is bad, this thought is good, this thought is bad, this emotion is good, this is bad. That judgment is usually created by the priest. But you have to understand it's a good thing. It's a good thing. First, you have to know the difference. Before you refrain from anything, you have to know the difference. Before you start walking the path, you have to know the difference. So in a way, it is necessary. It is necessary to show that this is good, this is bad. Let's say there is somebody new here, totally new, not know anything about mindfulness. Today, you come to this session, you start to hear the word mindfulness. Right? Then I say, try to be mindful while walking, try to be mindful while sitting. You are a new person. You just joined today. Next week, you come with a complaint. A complaint you haven't had so far. You come and say, I can't be mindful. I've tried and my mind is all over the place. So many thoughts. I am unmindful most of the time. So in a way, I am responsible for creating a problem. You haven't had a problem so far. Now, starting from today, you know the difference between mindfulness and unmindfulness. And that creates friction. Now you start to worry, judge. Okay, so many occasions I am unmindful. My mind is all over the place. Then you start judging other people also. Okay, this person is not mindful. You point your finger and you say. Right? So in a way, I am responsible for creating that difficulty in your mind, that friction in your mind. But it's a good thing. Now you know the difference between mindfulness versus unmindfulness. You know the difference between good versus evil. That's a good thing. That's how you start. Maybe it'll create some friction earlier. It'll create some chaos. It'll create some trouble in your mind. But that's how it goes. That's how it starts. First, you have to know the difference between good and evil. First, you have to know the difference between mindfulness versus unmindfulness. Then only you can progress in your path. Without knowing, you are in darkness, just ignorance. You don't know. And you are happy, peaceful, like a pig. No issues, no worries. You just live your life. As soon as you hear somebody is preaching, then you start to worry. As soon as you hear about mindfulness, then you start to worry about unmindfulness. But that's how it starts. That's the beginning of the path. You have to go through. You have to start practicing. You have to refrain from the evil and do more good. And gradually you start to progress in your path. Now you realize I can be mindful. Probably 10-15 breath cycles I can observe with mindfulness. 10-15 steps I can keep with mindfulness. That is how you progress. Little by little, you get advice, you share your experience, you come to this session, and little by little, you progress. And with time, within few months, you realize, now the good is there, now the bad is there. Still some friction towards bad, still some attachment towards good, but they are more equal. They are just two sides of a coin. And with time, one day, you don't care whether it is good or bad. You abandon both. Both, I am saying, you abandon both. And when you abandon both, then you are peaceful. You are separated from this world. Take one side, the other side will come automatically. So this is a gradual process. You can't just do it suddenly. It's a gradual process. That's why we recommend a method, a way of training yourself. Little by little, you progress. Little by little, you develop. And with time, you realize, now I'm ready. Your own mind will suggest, not me, not some book. Your own mind will say, this is not necessary. Some people, they just, after a few weeks of meditation, they come and say, this breath is troubling. This breath, I don't like it anymore. I don't feel like observing it in my meditation. It creates friction. That's a very valuable statement. Although they have some bad attitude towards it, it's a very valuable statement from their own mind. They are suggesting that even the breath has friction. So how subtle your mind has to become to know the friction of the breath. Initially, you are in friction, no wheels. You are just, going against the earth. You don't feel the friction in the breath initially. Initially, you have thoughts, you have family problems, you have problems at your job. So many things are there. You see the breath as blissful. You see breath as safe haven. But you practice for a few months, few weeks, then when your mind becomes subtler and subtler, you realize even the breath has a friction. Then we can give some other advice to them. Right? When they come and say the breath has a friction, then we can suggest something else. So this is how it goes. So various people, they are in various stages. The only way to progress is the way I told you earlier, the investment, daily investment, whether you feel like it or not, do the sitting, do the walking. Whether you sleep or not, do the sitting, do the walking. That's how you progress. And with time, you realize your own mind will suggest, not somebody else. Your own mind will suggest, okay, now I am ready to let go of the breath even. That's how it goes. And I hope I answered your question. I have a bad reputation not answering your questions. So I hope I got this one.
Thank you very much, Bhante. I apologize if I have had something the wrong time to wrong person. I apologize for that. But it just came into my mind when Samantha was asking that question. So that's why I thought of sharing that with you. Thank you very much, Bhante.
Thank you, Rajika. No, it's completely fine, and we welcome all questions and thoughts. We'll give another few seconds to see if anyone else has raised their hand. I can't see any more hands raised. Maybe we can move on now, Namantav, to the next session.
Yes, but I did notice that you didn't have any questions yourself.
Myself, I think most of my thoughts and my experiences
were shared
in the reports and got answered already.
Maybe that question is from Sonali. I don't know.
Well, in any case, thank you very much for all the reports and questions, because some of them, when I have the thought, it's already being asked by somebody else. So It does help. Thank you.
Yep. Great benefit of reading the reports. And thank you, Bhante. And thank you for the statements and reports and questions in this session. And also thank you, Sonali. And thank you, Bhante. So to proceed on to the next item on our agenda, we will go through the introduction to the beginners, if there is anyone joining for the first time today. And also this will act as a refresher for the experienced practitioners. Share the screen. Okay, so you can see there are 5 points listed. I will just go quickly through them. First, you can watch the two videos on mindful walking and the second one on mindful sitting. Then once you grasp a good basic idea of what to do in each session, you can start allocating time for each session on each day and start practicing for a few days. So we recommend minimum 10 to 15 minutes for one session at the beginning. So 10 to 15 minutes of mindful walking, followed by 10 to 15 minutes of mindful sitting. But if you are willing and you have time, you can stretch it up to 1 hour of walking and 1 hour of sitting session, even when you start. That is how I started. So it is fine. You can do it. The third one is to write the reports. So report writing is a very strong point in this program, because that will help you convert your practice into words, which will add more conviction about your own progress to yourself. You can write about what you are observing, what you are feeling during the mindful walking session. It could be the sole of your feet touching, getting in contact with the ground, the rhythm of your movement through the walking. And also it could be any distractions or disturbances from the surrounding or the noises in the surrounding. And then for the mindful sitting session, you can elaborate on what became prominent to you, whether it was the breath moving in or out, whether it was the bodily vibrations or movements, the abdomen falling or rising could have been the object of focus at some at any time, and whether there were any distractions. So you can use your own wording and writing style for this. And one other thing is that we can be mindful in our daily activities, daily life activities, but we recommend these sessions on a daily, based on a daily schedule, daily frequency, because these have a positive impact on daily mindfulness. So if you try to do daily mindfulness without doing these things, it might be a bit difficult to advance quickly. So that is why we recommend and teach in this manner with this structure for practice. Fourth point is on how to send reports. So you can send through the Google form or the email there. It is beginnersnv@gmail.com. I will be putting all these links into the Zoom chat section after the presentation. And then the fifth point is for the location for the link where it has the past recordings for this program. So each program is structured as a starting program for any new beginner. But if you are curious about previous sessions, you can go through the recordings available on the Nisarnamaneya Forest Monastery website. So with that, the introduction to a beginner comes to an end. I will stop sharing the screen now. So for today's session, the next feature would be the talk from Bhante on mindfulness. So on behalf of all of us, I would like to warmly invite Bhante to commence with the talk scheduled for today's session. Over to Bhante. Thank you.
Thanks, Namanta. We will take probably 15 or 20 minutes just to discuss a little bit more about the practice. Now, in a way, probably when you are young, you feel like enjoying. You feel like traveling the world. You feel like partying. You feel like sense pleasure. So that's how usually everybody begins. You go after sense pleasure. You want to travel the world. You want to enjoy various things. That's how you start your life. That's how most people try to find peace and happiness in this world. But with time, probably when you spend 10, 15 years chasing after sense pleasure, you come to realize a strange thing. You come to realize that although I try, I can't really fulfill myself. I'm chasing, but still I'm not satisfied. Today I have certain things. I enjoy the life. Tomorrow also there's this hunger. There's this need. So for some people it takes 20, 30 years to recognize this, realize this. For some, they don't even realize in this entire lifetime. Usually when you go beyond your 40s, then you start to realize this. When you have a family, when you have children, you start to realize this. No matter how fast I run, it is not enough. It is not enough. You try to achieve certain things, so many things. Of course, you have achieved, but still there is hunger. There's this need. And then come the preachings. Usually you go and preach your children. You tell them, okay, don't go after these things. It is not fulfilling. You have to meditate. You have to do these things. You go and preach to your young. But when you reflect back, when you think about your life, when you were at that age, you didn't listen. You were going after the world. You were going after the sense pleasure. So the young ones, just let them be. Just let them realize on their own. Of course, you can show them the path, but let them enjoy the world. Only through going after these things, only through trying to enjoy, they realize that although they try, still there's some issue with this world. You achieve, but still nothing will ever fill that void. So everybody feels this in their life. Probably some people towards the end of their life, usually when you are past 40, you feel it. And even earlier, some may feel this. You try to fulfill this void, but still nothing will ever fill that. Then you start to find the alternate solutions. Then you start to go for plan B. Then you search some other way. Probably all the people who are gathered here, they too have done that. That's why you are gathered here in such an audience. Otherwise, it's a Saturday. You have so many things to do. So why you are gathered here? You are gathered here because you know, although I go after sense pleasure, still there's a void. Nothing will ever fill this void. So what's the solution? What's the lasting solution that we can give? So that's a very valuable question. You go asking around and around, what is the way to fulfill? What is the way to be calm and peaceful in your mind? Now, in a certain way, you're asking the real question. You're asking the bigger question in life. Earlier you have been asking menial questions, how to, you know, do the sense pleasure, how to travel, how to taste different food. That's how you are asking. Now you're asking bigger questions in life. You're asking what is the meaning of this life? How to satisfy this void in me? So it's a very valuable progress that you have made. Usually it is very difficult to ask the bigger questions in life. It is very difficult to get people to ask them. They prefer not thinking about. They prefer even blaming other people who come and ask. So that's what happens to Socrates. He went around asking questions. Everybody he meets, he asks some philosophical question, a deep question. Why are you doing this? Then that person has been doing it for like 30, 40 minutes. Now suddenly somebody come and ask, why are you doing this? Then he realized he hadn't think about it before. All these 40, 30, 40 years, he hadn't think about it. And the usual response is anger. So this person went around asking questions. Everybody he meets, he asks questions, insightful questions, bigger questions about life. Then the other people, they realize this one is making us irritated. This one is creating trouble. So their solution was to give him death punishment, death by hemlock. So usually it is very difficult to get people to think this way. Usually it's very difficult to get people to ask bigger questions. They prefer asking about the breakfast. They prefer asking about the lunch. They prefer asking about the trip during the weekend. But more and more you spend time, more and more maturity you experience in you, you start to realize, although I try, nothing will ever fill that void. I'm trying. I have been trying for so many years. Still, there's some kind of a void inside me. So if somebody is asking that question, then we are suggesting this type of a practice. We might tell them, okay, I'm not good with answering questions. Instead, try this. Experience for yourself. Usually newcomers, they have 101 questions. Usually I get the opportunity to meet newcomers. They come and they have a list of questions. They say, Bante, can I ask you questions? And they have a list and they start asking. Usually I allow one or two. Then I say, get rid of the paper, throw away the book and try to practice for a while. Can you do just walk and see how you are experiencing walking? Can you sit for a while and tell us how you are experiencing sitting? Then that person says, that's not my problem. I have so many things. I don't want to do this. What is the value of sitting? What is the value of walking? Some people, they directly come and say, what's the point of observing the breath? It goes in, it comes out. When you breathe in, there's more oxygen. When you breathe out, carbon dioxide. I know my science. I have studied it. So what's the purpose of observing the breath? What's the purpose of observing your feet? I have been doing it for so many years. I know it's happening. But again and again, we are suggesting them, these questions, you can't get rid of them by answering. Instead, there is a way to experience for yourself. This is the practice. Then we tell them, we know that there is no real value in breath. It is just air going in and out. There is no real value in the steps. It's just the ground that feels. These days raining, bucketing down, so you feel the wetness. So there is no real value there. But when you feel the breath, when you feel the feet touching the ground, you are assured, you know for sure that you are in this present moment. When you feel sensations of your body, that will tell us that you are in this present moment. If you are in your mind, if you are thinking, okay, I am present, then that's not the way. Because your own mind is so cunning. Although you think you are present, probably you are not. So the only way is to verify whether you feel your body. As long as you feel your body, you know for sure that you are in this present moment. Because your body can't go to the past. Because your body can't go to the future. If your body in a way, listen to this Dhamma all the time. You are connected here, you are connected through Zoom. So your body is listening. But are you listening? It's a question. Sometimes you are seated here. Your body is listening to these preachings, but not your mind. Your body has been listening to all 53 sessions, but not your mind. Your body is already enlightened, but not your mind. This body is utterly present. It doesn't go to the past. It doesn't go to the future. So when you know the feelings, sensations of your body, you know for sure that you are present. When you brush, when you know the sensation of the brush, when you feel the taste of the toothpaste, you know for sure that you are present. When you have your meals, when you feel that smell, when you feel the grinding in your mouth, when you feel the taste, you know for sure that you are in this present moment. Even you go to the toilet and sit there, if you feel the sensations, you know for sure that you are present. So that's why, that's the importance. It's just a tool that we use to be present. Bodily sensations, they are always present. So we recommend you to observe them more and more. During your day-to-day life, try to observe them. Try to keep being aware about the bodily sensations. You could be doing various tasks. But if you want to verify that whether you are present or not, you have to see whether you feel the body. And when you do this type of practice, little by little, the questions will disappear. Instead, you start to feel some kind of a peace, some kind of a calmness in your mind. As I said earlier, you will start to have a new normal in your mind. Earlier, I used to worry so much. Earlier, I was overthinking. Now, although I think, although I worry, I don't do it so much. Now, I worry for like half a day. Now, today, even we heard somebody say that 2 days I was worried. That's your current status. But when you practice, when you keep practicing, suddenly after a few months, you realize, okay, now I am not worrying so much. Now half a day, I am calm and peaceful. I'm back to the usual status of my mind. So the resilience in your mind improves. Disturbances come, problems come, but the time that it takes to come back to the usual status, time that it takes to come back to the normal will reduce. So that's the solution, that's the answer. And when you practice more and more, when you spend more and more walking hours, when you spend more and more sitting hours, when you spend more and more mindful moments, you realize that you are becoming more and more peaceful. There's no real urgency. There's no real need to fill this void anymore. In a way, you are absorbed into this void. And you know, you experience that there is no need to fill it. Instead, you become the void. Earlier, you thought there is some essence in you. Earlier you felt this kind of a solid self in you. But when you peek inside, when you observe more and more, you come to realize that there is no solid self. There's no real essence. Probably you might have heard about Narcissus. He comes from Greek myth. And when he was born, there was a prediction. It was predicted that this boy will live a long life unless he come to know himself. So the same prediction is valid for you as well. You will live a long life. You will keep deceiving yourself. You will thrive in the ignorance unless you come to know yourself. And when you come to know yourself, suddenly you start to realize there's no solid self. You start to realize there's no real essence in you. So that's what happens. In a way, you are absorbed into the void. When you are absorbed into the void, then the questions will disappear along with that. All your problems will disappear along with that. All the knots in your stomach will disappear along with that. All your future planning, worries will disappear along with that. So that's our invitation. We invite you to practice for yourself. We invite you to come to know yourself. And when you do that practice, when you make progress gradually, little by little, every day you put some time, continue your practice, then you come to this realization. You come to experience that there is no real self or a solid self. There's no real essence. Even the breath shows this message to us. Initially, you feel a solid breath. You say that I was sitting for 1 hour and I observed my breath. It appeared again and again and again. But with time, you come and complain, okay, the breath disappears. And I feel like the entire world is shaking because I have no foundation. Various thoughts, mental images, various past incidents will appear in my mind. What should I do? I feel like I'm lost. But this sign, it's a very good sign. Some people, they appreciate it. Some people, they complain. Some people, they run home. So if you appreciate it, that's the way. If you come with a complaint, we can give us answer. But if you run, probably next lifetime, we'll do this practice again. Because when that breath disappears, when you feel that there is no solid self in you, there is no real essence in you, feeling lost is natural. Because this is your foundation. This is your foundation. You build all your future plans, you build all your lives based on this foundation. There's a solid self. When that shakes, it is natural to feel lost. Existentialism bummer, they say. They don't feel like living. They don't feel any value in this world. So they go, some people, they go and jump off a cliff. But this practice will take you gradually. That's the importance. You are not just suddenly going there. Instead, every day, little by little, you are experiencing this. Every day you sit for 1 hour, you wake up, you go for your duties, you go for your work. Next day also you do. Even the day after you do. So gradually you are going. You know the path. You have confidence in your practice. You know how to come back to the breath. You know how to return home. That gradual process is important. That is how the practice will grow. And little by little, every day, you are experiencing that there is no real solid self. You are experiencing there is no real essence in me. And not by accident, not by using drugs. Instead, through practice, you are experiencing. When you experience through practice, then that's the way to solve your problems. Even people that are addicted to drugs, they experience these things. Even by accident, they experience these things. But it is not lasting because they haven't progressed there based on some kind of a foundation or a practice. But the practitioner, every day, they spend some time, they experience, then they go back to their life. Again, they experience, they go back to their life. This is how you do. And if you spend few months, few years, then you realize, I have a new normal. I am calm and peaceful in my mind. I used to worry so much. I had so much friction in my mind. Now they are not there anymore. Still I worry, but not for so long. Still the friction is there, but not so strong. I am calm and peaceful. All my questions have disappeared with this process. You are absorbed into that void that was there, that kept knocking on your day throughout your life, that void that was there from the beginning. You are absorbed into it. So in a way, that was the message from the very beginning. It was the message. The void was saying something to you, whispering something to you. Initially, you thought of filling it. Initially, you thought of spending money trying to fill it. Initially, you thought of traveling the world trying to fill it. Initially, you thought of going after worldly pleasure, trying to feel it. But now you know the real solution. Now you know the message this void has been whispering to ears. Now you are absorbed into this void and your questions will disappear. The need to fill that void will disappear. The worrying, the friction will disappear. Knots in your stomach will disappear. All your problems will disappear. So that's the idea of the practice. I think we had enough discussions on this. The invitation is just one thing. Listen to those videos, watch them, and do your practice. Not the entire day, spend 1 hour, 1.5 hours. Keep doing it. Keep investing. And when we meet next time, we can discuss even further. We can have a valuable discussion. So thank you for listening. And I wish you all the best.
Thank you very much, Bhante, for that insightful advice on focusing on the practice itself and also recognizing and understanding the void. And I think we have come into the conclusion of the program. And I will try to wrap up the program now because we have gone over time for the at the moment. I would like to thank Venerable Bhante Homagama Dhamma Kusala Thero for spending Bhante's own valued time from away from Bhante's own practice schedule, coming into this program, to this session today for the benefit of all of us. Much merits to Bhante, and wish this endeavor has a knock-on impact, positive impact on Bhante's own practice, and also hope that Bhante is able to progress and also contribute to this program and other programs as well into the future. Also, I would like to thank and share merits with all the organizers who have worked hard to create this program and who are working on this program to sustain it at a high level of quality so that this message can be passed on to you and others. Also, I would like to thank all the participants who participated today. Your enthusiasm on this learning on mindfulness reflects in justifying the program to continue into the future. Otherwise, Bhante will not spend Bhante's time coming into this program, and the organizers will not spend their time either. So because of your presence, we are having the program running live. So thank you, and much merits to you. And it is our invitation to all of you to continue participating in these sessions. And also, let's meet next Saturday for this session on same time, at same time. And if anyone has a question on the program itself or some feedback, I can give you a minute to speak. Okay, I think there are no questions. I have posted some session announcements in the Zoom chat section. Please try to actively encourage your friends and family to join this program whenever you are able to, because we want to pass this message to others as much as we possibly can. With that, I hope all of you will have a happy and mindful week ahead until we meet next week on the same program. Thank you, and I will end the session now.